I just like the composition of Got You Under My Skin. So many versions of it. This one here by the Jazz Cat special guest today. And if you haven't already checked into the website, it is www.thejazzcat.net. And you will find archived there a number of interviews, actually more than a number. It's actually the who's who of jazz. And if you haven't checked that website out, it's more of who's not on the on that website as far as interviews held exclusively here on the For Locals Only show on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio here in Carmel by the Sea, California. So without further ado, let's bring on the Jazz Cat himself, Leroy Downs, host of the Live with the Jazz Cat show and his special guest today. Leroy?
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's all yours.
Oh, beautiful. Wow, you talk about the who's who of jazz. I have one of the most special people with me today, a great pianist, a wonderful person, Renee Roth. Hey, Renee.
Hey, it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you for the lovely intro.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry I couldn't be as melodic as you normally are. You know, you've been such a powerful melodic force in the music for so long, contributing so much music and, you know, playing with the best in the business. I mean, what are some of the things that you seek to achieve inside the music?
You know, it's all about truth. And I feel that if I can be honest with my instrument and honest with my emotions, that comes through in the music. And I think that's what ultimately reaches people with any art form, is that they feel a sincerity or they feel a connection with the artist, no matter, you know, what the format. So I guess really it's all about being vulnerable and allowing the music to come through you.
Yeah, well, you know, creating new music and reviving old standards is a great contribution to the world's emotions, as you mentioned, and it's also a continued way to support the art form. I mean, I feel that as jazz musicians, you know, we're underutilized, underrecognized, and the beauty of jazz seems to fall to the wayside of popularity most of the time. I always ask all the artists, you know, what else do you think we can do so that people can get it?
You know, that's a difficult question to answer. You know, it's about exposure, and especially with young people. And as I travel around the world, and especially in North America, I'm very kind of pleased to see that there are so many young people in the schools playing the music and becoming exposed to it that way, and having, you know, a lot of groups coming through the schools, whether it be elementary schools or secondary schools or colleges and universities. I mean, there certainly is a great deal of interest among young people in the music. And then it's just a case of carrying that message on, you know, to their friends and their family and all over the world. So it's a challenge.
Yeah, it always continues to be one. You're listening to the great pianist, Renee Rosnes, right here on the show, Live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, you speak about exposure. I mean, the San Francisco Jazz Organization has really done the world of jazz a huge honor by, you know, creating the SF Jazz Collective. I mean, this is a group made up of the finest musicians in the business, each bringing such extraordinary talent to the stage. How is it collaborating in this beautiful environment?
Well, you said it. It's a beautiful environment to be in, and not only I feel so fortunate to be able to play with such wonderful musicians, also just the energy and the positive vibes that we all have together, it really works out well. Nobody seems to have an ego that's out of check, and for that reason, I think everybody really, really communicates well with one another, and we're able to concentrate on the music and make some great art together. And of course, there's been several versions of the band, and right now we have Joe Lovano, Miguel Zenon, Dave Douglas. Robin Eubanks is now on trombone. And the rhythm section, myself and Eric Harland, Matt Penman, and also the great vibraphonist Stefan Harris. So a lot of talent, tons of talent in that band. So it's always been so much fun to get together every year. We all every year we bring our own music in, and then we arrange music of a major American composer. And last year we worked on some of Wayne Shorter's music, and actually had an opportunity to do a performance with him as well in San Francisco, which was very exciting, needless to say. And this year we're going to be working on some of McCoy Tyner's music. And when I say working on, all of us are bringing in arrangements of individual pieces of McCoy's that we've each chosen to do and contribute and bring to the table. So it's just, and it's so much fun also to hear what people do with the music, because each one has a very personal kind of take on what that music means to them and how they want to present it. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you, I mean, I love to go backstage after performance because I love to see you and all other cats in the band. I mean, I was going to ask you, what are some of the distinctive differences in the sound over the years as the collective has changed in personnel?
Well, everybody has such a unique, the musicians who've been in the band have very unique and personal voices, you know, both, I'm thinking of, just in terms of the tenor, we've had Joe Lovano and we've had Joshua Redman. Both are great musicians, obviously, but both have very individual sounds and bring different sensibilities and histories to the band. So in the rhythm section, we started out with Bob Hurst on bass and Brian Blade on drums. And since then, we've had, as I said, Matt Penman and Eric Harland, and all of those guys have very different styles as well. But I think what's great is that no matter what, everybody plays at such a high level and is very consistent and has such creativity that it almost doesn't matter what style or what history they've had, because the people that we've had in the band have just, you know, really come in and given it 100%. And for me, in terms of writing, it's always not only a challenge but exciting to sit down and write and think, okay, I know what Joe's sound is, and or Miguel's sound, or you know how Eric Harland might approach something on the drums. And so to sit down and actually compose and arrange music for their strengths and for their, you know, particular personalities is fun. And then it's also fun to come into rehearsal and see what happens with the music, because inevitably once you start rehearsing, things change up and things get added, maybe something gets dropped, but it's an organic process that kind of just evolves over time.
Well, that's so beautiful, and consistency and intensity are two of the main things that the band brings all of the time, and with such beautiful players, I mean, you can't help but have fun and make, you know, the world's best music.
Yeah, well, I'm fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, you've been one of the founding members. The piano chairs never change, right?
That's correct, yep. Yeah.
Well,
I'm having too much fun.
Well, you know, just as the SF Collective pays homage to legends in the music, some that you've mentioned every season, I mean, you've done so yourself with this latest album you have called Black Narcissus, recording many pieces by a former employee of yours, Mr. Joe Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe was a huge mentor to me and was one of the first kind of major musicians to hire me when I first came to New York in the mid-'80s. And he meant a lot to me, and I had a lot of wonderful experiences playing with him in various bands, and his music has always really very deeply been in my heart. And I was looking for an opportunity to make this record of Joe's not only Joe's compositions, but some of the pieces that he loved playing, such as Sam Rivers' Beatrice and Duke Pearson's You Know I Care, along with some of his compositions, such as Isotope and Black Narcissus and Recordeme, and a couple of others. But I really was looking forward to doing this in the trio format without the saxophone. So we have our kind of own approach to it versus the way it would be if we had, a tenor player playing the arrangements with us.
Yeah. You're listening to the great Rini Rasmus right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Yeah, I never got a chance to see Joe Henderson. And when I was starting to learn the music, I would ask some people, like, oh, Joe Henderson, which album should I get by Joe? And they said, man, any album by Joe is going to be fine. And I have found that over the years, that is very true.
Yeah, that's quite a feat, but it is very true. I have certain favorites, but definitely everything he put out was at such a high level. And he was like that as a musician, too. On stage, he had such a high level of consistency from night to night. And, the bandstand was his heaven, and that was very evident when you were on the bandstand playing with him, because he was just in another world. And he was able to kind of connect with that force, mysterious creative force that we all try and connect with. And he was able to get to that right away from the very first note of an evening. He was in it, and it was so inspiring to play with him. I learned so much from him every night.
Well, the band may have been his heaven, but his music continues to be ours, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What types of feelings and possibilities do the different configurations that you perform in terms of how you approach the piano? Like, you do trios, there's octets with the collective, the big bands. What type of configurations do you love the best, or that inspire you? Your music the best?
Well, each context offers different challenges and different spaces to create in. And of course, I love playing trio, because there's a lot of freedom in that with just three musicians conversing with one another. But even playing in a big band, if you've got some great repertoire and some wonderful arrangements, it can be, equally exciting, albeit more perhaps structured, because it has to be, because the more musicians you have, the more structured it ends up being. That's just how it is. I do enjoy different formats, and I enjoy writing for different formats, too. I've done some big band writing. Lucky enough a few years ago to do a big band record with the Danish radio big band in Copenhagen. And Jim McNeely, great pianist and arranger, was the director of the band at the time. So he contributed a few arrangements of my pieces, and Mike Mossman and me as well got my feet wet doing some writing for big band. And it was just so exciting to play and hear the power of the band, and every different context allows and for different modes of expression. Something I've been doing recently, which has been a lot of fun, is my husband Bill Charlap and I have been doing some two piano concerts. Earlier this fall, we were in Europe for a couple of weeks playing dual piano. When I say duo, I mean two pianos, not four hands, one piano. Talking about, two pianos. And boy, that's a lot of fun. We have a whole lot of fun playing together.
Well, I was certainly going to ask you about that, and you did brought that up. I was going to see what sort of compositions were in store for us now that there's another pianist on the scene.
Well, we'll be making a recording soon. So we, you know, our repertoire is large already just because the two of us know a lot of tunes, and it's ever expanding. So I'm not sure what's going to end up being on the actual recording, but we've been doing some of my originals as well as some standards and, you know, Wayne Shorter piece, Joe piece, whatever we really feel like. We experiment all the time, and because we have the luxury of having two pianos at home, then we also have you know, time to actually sit down and just play together at home and come up with some different things too. So it's always expanding.
Well, you know, as Diane Reeves would say, you guys must have loads of lovely love.
Or, right.
Well, it's great.
I love that
you don't
song.
Have...
You never hear that song. Peggy Lee, that's what I was thinking of. Didn't Peggy Lee do that?
I think she did, but, you know, I always think of Diane's version.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, it has been wonderful talking with you, and it's great that you have two pianos in the house. You guys don't have to share. You can each play and play together. That's like lots of big fun.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for taking some time and coming on and speaking with us today.
Thank you, Leroy. Thank you for having me.
And I don't know when you're coming back out on the West Coast or anything like that, but you know I will be there, and it's always great to see you.
Okay, I'll let you know. I believe I'll be there in March at Catalina's with the San Francisco Jazz Collective, with the SF Jazz Collective. So perhaps we'll see you then.
I'm certain that you will. You heard it, Reenie Rosnes, right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the For Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. Thanks, Reenie.
Thank you.